podcast brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, Carter proposes on B&B, Ava arrives on Days, Laura returns on GH, Adam's plot goes sideways on Y&R, and Daytime loses an icon. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Welcome.
Hello.
Mike Jubinville, welcome.
Hello.
Joshua Baldwin, welcome.
Hello, Lucas Lorenzo Kerr.
Well, there's a lot to discuss on soaps this week, but before we get to that, we want to take a moment. I want to take a moment to talk about the passing of Alex Trebek, obviously the Jeopardy icon who hosted it for 37 years, passed away. It is a massive loss, not just for Daytime, but for pop culture and television in general. Going around the circle, what were your reactions to the news, Josh?
Oh, sad, of course. I mean, he made his battle with pancreatic cancer, and I hate to say battle, but he made his pancreatic cancer diagnosis public, and I think that's very helpful to people. And, you know, he's been on our screens forever. He will be sorely missed.
Jillian?
You know, it was a shocker, but it wasn't, because he, you know, the stage, he had stage four, and that's pretty much with how this illness is, it's people are still learning new things about it. You know, when you have symptoms of it, doctors actually think it's something else because of how it is, you know. It was a shocker, but it wasn't. But, you know, Alex put up a good fight with that. He had a message for John Lewis, the late John Lewis, who'd also died at 80 because of that illness. Like, they both had this, like, little pact. And, you know, it's just sad that they couldn't fulfill it. And Alex was a one of a kind. He, you know, his biography was very fascinating to read when I wrote up his obit. He's one of a kind, and he'll truly be missed. There's nobody like him, like nobody like Alex Trebek at all.
The closest, I mean, I would think of would be Pat Sajak and Vanna White.
No.
That's just because of them both being in syndicated shows. It's not necessarily the impact that they've individually had. Mike, what were your thoughts?
The same. I mean, it's a sad passing, but the guy had an incredible journey. I mean, everybody... nobody had anything bad to say about him ever. And he presided over Jeopardy and was able to bring the show back and keep it on the air for many, many years. I was kind of surprised, because he's been very public about his ups and downs. And it just kind of occurred to me when I heard about his passing that he had kind of gone silent. So there was really no, I guess it just kind of caught me off guard, the timing, more than the actual passing.
Well, our thoughts and prayers go out to his family. It will be interesting to see who ends up replacing him as host. It will be more jarring than when... the switch at the Price is Right took place, because at least with Bob Barker will come back from time to time to fill in. But we wish best of luck to whomever takes over that role. Jillian?
Well, hold up, because right about now, Jeopardy says it's up in the air. So we don't know as of right now, they're like on a big hold. So
there is no way that they cancel that show.
I never said that. I said that they said... it's up in the air now. That's their exact words, that it's up in the air. I do know that people have been lobbying for LeVar Burton. Is this Burton? Yeah, LeVar Burton to do it.
Yeah.
LeVar Burton to do it. But, you know, I'm like, damn, y'all, it is too soon. But it is a good idea. But I'm like, it's too soon. And Jeopardy is, they're not even thinking about that right now. So let's just, yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about The Bold and the Beautiful. Jillian.
No.
You were gone last week, so I figured I'd go to you first on this one. There's so much to choose from. Carter proposed, the Hope Doll saga continues with Thomas, the Eric and Quinn and Shauna. What jumped out at you, whether good or bad, this last week on The Bold and the Beautiful?
Now, I'm enjoying the Quinn, Eric, Shauna drama because I'm like, ain't this, this is some All About Eve shit. Like, Shauna is, you know, to be fair, Shauna is like, I'm trying, Quinn, I'm trying, but she's not trying hard enough to leave that house. That is very inappropriate. Quinn is absolutely correct. And I'm just like, girl, when Quinn finds out, she's going to go ham on that ass, and I cannot wait. Damn, I just wish that Brad could film like GH to see some little, you know, some shit go down. Cause I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be juicy. I'm liking that storyline a lot. I was telling someone, I kind of wish that Bill was involved, and someone's like, Bill involved. Yep. I'm like, yeah, because Bill should be involved, and Bill should know that this bitch manipulated him, and he should be like, wait a minute. He should go in on Flo and say, look, I overlook that you're my son's girlfriend. So that's why I'm a little bit lenient with you, baby kidnapper. However, this my house. This my house. Mm-hmm. He lives in my house. My name ain't Alan. He ain't Monica from Port Charles. This my house. This mine. Because that was one thread way that Bill used to always use on those boys. When Liam had the Malibu house and Wyatt had the beach house. When they would be like, Dad, you're barging in our house. And he'd be like, you mean my house that my name is still on this sucker? Like, Bill used to let him know and let him be told. Like, I feel as though Bill should be like, Quinn, you need to get the hell out of my house. Like, he should go ham on that, but I digress. I'm loving that. I love the fact that Wyatt picked up that Shauna's still living here.
Right.
Yes, I'm loving that because it's like, it's going to be fireworks. So I'm all here for it. Carter and Zoe. They are just moving. I don't understand why Brad feels as though that everybody wants to get married. Like, I've noticed this has been happening with this regime for like a decade. Since I've been doing this show, doing this podcast, which has been over 10 years. Yes, child. child, I don't put in my miles on here.
She got her airline miles to international locales.
See, I know the difference between overseas and unlike some people, Jamie. I just don't understand why Brad feels as though that they need to get married and have babies soon. Like, they're not saying the baby soon, but with Carter, you never know. Why do they have to get married so fast? Like, I wanted Carter to know more about her. Like, you know, this to be a real triangle. This doesn't feel like a real triangle to me. What's his name?
Zendi. Romance.
Yes, Zenday just got here a few weeks ago. And you just ended your marriage to Nicole. But you and Nicole just ended your marriage. But you're all enthralled and you want to be with Zoe. You don't even know that bitch's zodiac sign. And I refuse to believe that Julius Avant would give him the thumbs up. I'm like, ain't no black daddy in the world would do that. I was thinking, I'm like, Julius here to whoop his ass. But I'm like, COVID. But the conversation they had, I'm like, are you insane? No.
That wasn't Julius.
No, it wasn't. No father would do that. And especially no black daddy would do that. Are you crazy? We don't even know why they broke up. They just keep saying, oh, we were in two different places. We don't even know that. We need to know more about why Zenday is back and what happened to him and Nicole. Like, everything is moving too fast. And then they have Ernest Paris. I'm like, Brad has the same template. Is the bad girl, which would be Zoe, given her past, but they act as though that past never happened. So she is, in a sense, the good girl. But Paris is the good girl who is so earnest and pure and is a social worker and is helping the homeless. I feel as though this is Daisy mixed with a little bit of Nicole in there, and she's got the paperclip necklace to make herself look bohemian. And I'm just like, why? This is just, I'm not really feeling the storyline. But then, you know, I know I'm not saying, listen to the keyword. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm not saying Brad will be like that, but I know how network execs go. They will be like, oh, we tried to give we tried to give diversity a chance, la, 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 la. And, you know.
All in one room.
Yes, and they won't give the push. But I just feel as though Brad can just, like, tailor this some, because me and somebody were talking about this the other day, and we were just like, we do not speak like that. He's a hottie. Nobody speaks like that anymore. I'm going to tell you what a sis would have said. She would have come in, hey, girl, what's going on, girl? What's tea? You know, especially somebody like Zoe's, not Zoe. See, they're all interchangeable now. The girl Paris, she would have been like, hey, girl, what's tea? You know, and when she saw Carter, she would have been like, oof, that is bae right there. Like, he's a hottie. Get the hell out of here. We're not in the 80s, 90s where everybody wants to hurry up, rush and get married. Well, not even in the 80s and 90s they did that. Like, I would just, this show used to be so decadently sinful with the sex and the drama. But everybody in there, I know we're in the age of COVID, but even before COVID, Brad always had to marry somebody off. Example, Liam, Hope, and Steffi, they would always rush to the altar with that boy, you know, because they scared, if I don't put a ring on it, child, if he don't put a ring on it, he gonna go back to that girl. And even when there was a ring on it, Liam still is, did I make the right choice? Like, I don't understand why Brad is rushing this. Like, they're young, hip, black, and successful beings. Well, even take the black out. They're young, successful, hip beings. They don't all want to get married right now. Like, you know, if you're trying to piggyback off of the, you know, Brooke, Ridge, Taylor template, Ridge, you know, later on in the years, Ridge wanted to get married, but this is just moving too fast, and I'm just not feeling that. I just want a little bit more drama, and I just don't like that they're all by themselves. They're all in they're islanded. They're taking the page from YNR. The Bracks are all islanded. Zoe, why isn't she, I don't know, talking to Liam more about this? Liam should be like, look, bitch, I don't like you because of what your funky ass did with my daughter, but you were with Thomas. What do you think is going on? What is your take? Or something like that. Why isn't Paris mixing it up with Wyatt and Flo to give them some sort of juice, some sort of oomph? Like, it's just so dry right now. I'm just not really feeling it.
What do you think of B&B this last week?
Well, first of all, ditto to what Jillian said. I still get a little tickled kick out of Thomas and the Hope doll. I think that those eyes turning red, I cackled out loud. I'm not sure I'm supposed to be laughing, but I am. I'm finding it humorous, even if it's not supposed to be humorous. The larger mental health storyline, I'm just scared to death for Bold and the Beautiful to go there, because they just wrecked. They recently wrecked an addiction storyline by starting and finishing it in 2 weeks.
Well, so go ahead, because I'll defend them with that. I know, shaka, because Carly was like, say what? When the last time I was on, Carly was like, what? I'll defend them with that, but go ahead, baby. Go.
Now, I'm hopeful. To me, the shining part of Bold and the Beautiful is Matthew Atkinson. He is acting off of a doll and off of Annika Noel's voice, and I think he is... I said this on Twitter, you know, he's not quite there with Shittin' to Sugar, but he's certainly Shittin' to Splenda at this point. I think he's doing a good job. I really do like him. I like the idea of Quinn, Shauna, and Eric. We'll see where they go. I think Jillian's wishes will come true this week. I think that Quinn's going to go ham.
I know she is.
The only other thing, I would have Paris. I don't know if they have her as a social worker who has any mental health background, but Paris being the one to discover Thomas is going downhill when she has no history with Thomas would be very interesting.
Yes. That was, see, oh God, Josh. See, That would be great. Like, you know, to mix them up some. What if she, when she's coming to Forrester, she runs into Thomas and she's heard about Thomas, but she don't let on who she is at first. But she notices that he's a little wonky.
Yep.
And then she tells, you know, and then, I don't know, she finds out who she is and, by, you know, and she doesn't have a dog in that race because, you know, her sister's over it, blah, blah, blah. But she notices that something's wrong with him. That could be good stuff right there. But I was going to say, let me defend B&B with the addiction storyline. I, you know, the last time I was on here, I said, you know, I have to defend them. I don't know anything, but I feel as though they wrapped up the addiction storyline because Jacqueline McInnes Wood is pregnant. When she made the announcement and did the math, you know, do the math, you know, I'm like, okay, they really can't play it out like they want to, because this is the era of COVID. I believe if there was no COVID, they probably could, and it would be longer, but it, you know, just as long as she is able to film before she goes on maternity. But this is the era of COVID. That's number one, and she's pregnant. Combine those two, I think Brad had to wrap it up, because it's one thing that you have someone working while they're pregnant. It's uncomfortable, this, that, and the third. But someone working in the coronavirus pandemic, I don't think Brad wanted to play with those odds. And that would be crazy to do that. So I guess, you know, they had to wrap it up fast.
That makes
because
sense.
Of that.
Speaking of wrapping up The Bold and the Beautiful, Mike, The Young and the Restless this last week, I don't know what was going on with my DVR, but I feel like I missed episodes because I ended one episode and I was watching someone attempting to shoot Adam, and the next episode had Abby in the hospital with Chance. So I think something's going on with my DVR. What did you think of that storyline? What did you think of Adam's intent to blow up the Newman and the kidnapping of Abby?
Okay, first of all, I'm going to address your DVR. You do not have a problem.
Because no, are you serious?
I am completely serious, because I asked Josh the same question, because I was watching it by myself, and I texted him, did I miss an episode? Because the last thing I remember is Adam or Chance getting shot, and then Abby's in the hospital, and I thought that I had also missed an episode. You know what I mean? So you're not alone.
Something weird is going on with The Young and the Restless, because this is not the
y'all
first
just
time.
Not figuring this out.
Well, no, but this is not the first time in the last few months in which the continuity of The Young and the Restless just feels like it skips entire
days. You can't
days.
Blame COVID, because this is some bullshit right here. Yeah, you ain't lie. It was I was like, when, you know, homie got popped, I was like, oh, and then I was like, wait, huh? Okay.
There was nothing with him gripping his, like, at least from what I saw, because I went from a gun and it going bang and Chance jumping to Chance in the hospital. And I'm like,
and out of surgery.
Right?
Well, I will, okay. I will,
like,
well,
what
you know
the
what? Me,
fuck?
Okay, calm down.
Well, no, but like, you don't expect this from The Young and the Restless.
Okay, calm your tits. I should, well, let me go back. I will, okay. I probably can blame this on COVID, because traditionally, if you got popped, police are there, someone's rushing you to the hospital, they're working on you. Remember, they have limited restrictions with certain things, so that's probably why.
But Bold and the Beautiful did it with Steffi in the accident.
Steffi in the accident.
I mean, we saw the accident happen. We actually saw the accident happen, and we actually saw people coming in and worrying about stuff. Like, we saw Ridge and Brooke and all them run in.
Chance don't really have much family to, like, the only family Chance has right about now is Billy. Jill is on some farm somewhere. You know, Big Mama Nina is coming.
But he's
so,
engaged,
you know,
to Abby. Abby went from suddenly being at Newman Enterprises to standing in front of a hospital. Even if they didn't show him gushing blood on the street, we should have had the continuity of Abby getting the call during the Newman thing. Because that's what the other issue that I had with The Young and the Restless. Like, we went from blowing up Newman to not blowing up Newman, and
because like they stopped it doing this dramatic pause.
Like, well, it's like I just like I felt like there was a whole day or maybe two worth of episodes that just disappeared on me, and I was like, "What is going on with my DVR? This doesn't
make
sense."
Josh often questions whether he missed something, so I don't think your continuity issue is completely. I mean, it's noticeable by not just you, but others as well.
Tuesday's episode, I was going to say Adam aborted the plan to blow up Newman Enterprises because Chelsea found out. So there you go with the Newman Enterprises thing.
She was still kidnapped last I saw, and then all of a sudden she was free holding a thing defending herself.
They brought that up too. She found... I don't know, the hustler in Chelsea, we don't know how she got out, but it's alluded that she pried the door open with the
she took the mattress off of the cot, and she took the metal a metal bar off the support of the bed, and then the door open. That's what
and
she
this
did.
Isn't your magic TV.
No, there you go.
So then there might be something going on.
They
with
went
my
to
DVR.
The episode. They only ended the episode with her putting the bar into the door, and then the next she was out. They didn't really actually show her doing it, but it was implied that's how she got out.
Now, Luke, you could have missed an episode because every show last week was preempted once. So if you're not going, I mean, you should check your DVR because I don't. There were preemptions.
Well, that's true. If there was preemptions, then that might explain it too.
I just don't know sections of the country and that kind of thing.
Right. So, Mike, what did you think of Adam's plot?
Honestly, I thought it was kind of weak. I thought, you know, this whole thing with Adam is
becoming redundant.
It's redundant, and it's like, how much can you do to this character? Like, how much can Adam be responsible for? And I said to Josh, like, I know that they're trying to make Adam the bad guy, but the truth is Adam isn't really doing anything to make people think these things because he doesn't either follow through with them or it's just weird. It's like the voices around Adam constantly say he's bad, but Adam himself is just struggling with coming to terms with something that he did as a kid and hasn't really done. I mean, yes, he had Chelsea kidnapped and he put, I'm assuming that was a bomb, in the Newman thing. And then he decided not to do it. But that was like, it's still not half as bad as anything that all the people hate him for have done. So I just think they need to stop doing this stuff with him. They just got to stop.
Josh, what I don't quite get about it is the fact that maybe it's this version, this writing for Adam, but like what I don't get about it is that it's almost like we've taken the character of Newman or the character of Adam back to pre-Michael Muni Adam. To the original Adam that came on, who was like very woe is me, where with Michael Muni and Justin Hartley, I felt like rather than it be woe is me, there was more of a lethal vengeance. I'm going to get you all back and I'm basically
shit up. Yeah.
Right. And now all of a sudden we're back to this sobbing, simpering Adam. And I'm just like, give it a rest. How many daddy issues and sibling issues can you use to blame for all this stuff?
Yeah, he's Chris Ingen's Adam is where we are back when he was a little more moody and broody. You know, I don't mind going back and going back to a character's history to explain behavior. It's just that we have added and added and added to Adam's history now. And in ways that most of us don't care. And it just gets, first of all, I don't like broody cry Adam. Second of all, I don't like they're beating us over the head. This is where I feel like sometimes they think the audience is stupid, because every single scene after Chance was shot were characters talking about Adam. And all Chance did was whisper the name Adam as he was going unconscious. And everyone in town jumps to the fact that Adam is horrible. Adam, of course, shot Chance. Adam. And it's just like, enough. There's a comedian who talks about hating people so much that you just hate everything they do. Like, look at that bitch over there eating chicken. Look at her eating chicken and how horrible she is. That's the same thing they do with
that. That's funny.
I can't remember who it is. She's awesome. But it's like Adam, that's what they're doing. Like, Adam's breathing. How dare he breathe? How dare he stand there?
This is Josh. Like, Josh is just really obsessed with this character to the point where, you know, he does, you know, I guess he got the memo, stop beating us overhead with this child on 24/7, because you're not really doing Mark Grossman any, you know, any service with that. You're going to turn the fans off, but you are still turning the fans off, because even though Adam's not on 24/7, you still, everybody is just caught up in his drama. Right about now, you know, it should not be all about Adam. Like, my God, like, Phyllis should be trying to undermine Victoria and trying to get her back. Those two bitches should be fighting, like Phyllis, or, you know, Phyllis was a computer genius. Phyllis should be trying to hack into Newman or Victoria's stuff to see what she can use to get, like, take over, like, get her golden dragon back or whatever that thing is. I don't care. You know, that should be happening right now. You know, I just don't care. I really don't. It's just
it seems to be a symptom of, like, both that YNR is picking up from B&B, which is focusing on one or two things and then having everyone else talk about it. And it's like, that's not always a good, yeah, it's not always good. There, I mean, I agree with you. Phyllis needs to be doing something to Victoria. Like, I thought this week when Nick was playing middleman between the two, that Phyllis should just accept his money, pay off Victoria, and then blast her ass out of the water.
Yes.
Causing, like, this trouble for her in the first place. Rather than having Victoria have power over everything she does, she eliminates the power by paying her off, and then Nick takes care of his girlfriend, and then Phyllis can be free and clear to go annihilate Victoria. And that's what I wanted to see.
Jillian, I wanted to ask you about, since you weren't here last week, I wanted to ask you about Sally. What are you thinking of her arrival in Genoa City?
She's fitting in like a glove over there, and, you know, Summer is right to side-eye her, but, you know how Summer is, so some people are just like, oh, little girl, pat on the head. I do want her mixing it up with them, because, you know, I see that, listen, they have a fan base, that's fine. Kyle and Summer have a fan base, that's fine. I feel as though Sally can spice it up some in there, because I'm just not seeing, what the big deal is. And it was just such a damn shame that they're getting rid of the young man playing Theo. Yep. Throw him in the mix with Sally. They would have been, I feel as though they would have been fire right about now. But
they could rule Genoa City.
Yes. Yes, they could. And, you know, you toss Lola in there a little bit, because Lola is his conscience. Like, he and Sally are the gruesome twosome, but Lola, you know, he still has feelings for Lola, but, you know, he wants to destroy Genoa City, but he wants to live up to her expectations. Something like, this is called The Young and the Restless, for God's sakes. Like, we needed to be, like, we got the youngins, we needed to be restless. Like, I know COVID restrictions, but COVID ain't restricting you from telling good story. Like, what the hell's going on? What is going on with the CBS shows, dog?
I know.
I don't understand it. I'm just not really feeling them right now. The only ones who are being a kind of restless is the Devon. And again, they are islanded off once again. Yep. That's Devon, Elena with a fast ass, Nate and Amanda. Elena, you ho! You know, like, that's, you know, that was islanded. That's islanded. And there, you know, if you are trying to piggyback to the days of Neil, Drew, Olivia, and Nate, or no, not even Nate, Malcolm, you know, Drew was unapologetic with her bullshit. Elena being, girl, be unapologetic, honey. You know, listen, you got a billionaire in the bed, but your side boo is his cousin who's a doctor. Like, come on, get with it. Like,
It's not surprising, though. I mean, if we're really quite honest, the only Black African-American character on the show that has had widespread integration with the white families, other than Devon once he was added as a chancellor, is Lily. Lily's the only one who goes from family to, like, she's the only one who mixes with everybody the way you would expect.
Lily can't fuck a family, Luke. She can't fuck a family.
But that's what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, on the topic of you saying that these other characters are being islanded, what I am saying is she's the only one who is never islanded. She's the one who can...
I'm not talking about Lily, though. I'm talking about them. I am talking about them. I'm talking there. Clearly, you can see that they're doing a quad type triangle with them. I'm speaking about them. I'm not speaking about all of the African Americans on TV. I'm not speaking about all the Winters family. So stop. I'm talking about them. I'm talking about how, once again, the show is supposed to be restless. We have the young, but we don't have them restless. Meaning, like I said, Drew was unapologetic with her shit. The one that was earnest and I don't know was Olivia. I'm talking about how they're trying to piggyback off of that template, and instead of Elena just sitting there being like, you know what, I did what I did, and what? They have her, I'm so sorry, Devon, you have to forgive me, and then, no, Nate, stop, and then, I love him, but I love, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about no fucking Lily now. Let's stop putting words in my mouth. You got me tight now. I'm talking about that. I'm saying that instead of them having them all earnest, that they can be scandalous. Black people can be scandalous, you know. Drew was scandalous. Drew tore up that town. She shook that town up with her shit. Neil was a jerk yuppie. We don't have any of that. They're all earnest and good. Like,
Nate ought to be mad.
Yes.
His hand is hurt. He ought to be going after him.
You get what I'm saying here. Nate should be pissed as hell. This should make Nate the little cutthroat. Nate should say, cousin or not, you really ain't no damn Winters. Use Drew straight. Woo. He should just be mad. He should just draw his line in the sand and say, you ain't really my blood. You are Drew's pet project. He should go there and say, I don't have no loyalties to you, because you sure as hell don't have no loyalties to me, because look at my damn hand. I cannot operate. I can't make no money. I don't have no white Grammy that left me billions. He should be going after Devon's billions right about now. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about friggin' Lily. I'm talking about
what
that.
I was referring to, and I wasn't undermining your point as to the quad, but when you were referring back to the Winters family and just how you mentioned the fact that Drew tore through Genoa City, in my opinion, if you were going to have those characters be able to do that, they have to be cross-pollinated with the rest of the cast. I was not undermining your point about the quad. I was trying to add to it in the fact that these characters, if they were actually well integrated and having impact on the cast, would make that quad that much better.
Now,
the things that you were talking about.
Lily is not needed right about now. She's not needed in there because, like I said,
I never said that she was needed in the quad. I was only making the point that she's the only character of the ones. When you were talking about Malcolm, Drew, and Neil back in the day, they were integrated into the cast across the canvas. What I was saying, and I was not in any way, shape, or form indicating that Lily should be part of the quad, I was saying that the quad, if they were integrated across the rest of the canvas the same way that Lily was, would have a much greater impact.
No, your point with Lily really isn't needed for this. We know she's integrated with the cast because, to be fair with them, she can't sleep. The blocks, the only blocks on there are her family. So she can't do nothing with them. She really, Lily's not in this equation at all. She's not even down from the quad to anything. She's not needed in this. I'm just saying that they need to spice it up with them, and they should have them cutthroat. They're all earnest in there. They're all good people. Devon, good. Amanda, good. Elena, good. Nate, what? Good. If this was Hillary, check it. If Hillary was still there, Hillary would have been the spicy one in there. If Hillary was messing with Nate and his hand was messed up, Hillary would have amped Nate up and say, so you not gonna contact Michael Baldwin to sue that bitch? Well, Hillary, you not gonna sue him. You can't make no money off of that hand. You can't make no money. Hillary would have been spicy in there. My point is they're all earnest. They're all earnest. There's no like there's no conflict. There's no the only conflict is who does Elena love? Is she in love with Nate or is she in love with Devon? There's no like, oh my God, like I'm rooting for Devon because da 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 da, or I can't believe Devon did that to him, or can't believe that. There's nothing. There's no the only conflict we have is he ain't got no damn hand to operate. That's it.
Josh, someone who's going to be bringing a lot of conflict to Salem is Ava. She arrived, interacted with Philip. What'd you think?
Tamara Braun entering as Ava, and to me, she didn't miss a beat. When they showed her standing there in that damn park where everybody is, and she's all smiling and grinning, I'm like, oh, yes, okay. Here we go, Tamara Braun.
So sexy together?
Oh, my God, yes. I love that Ava is the mastermind here. And Philip's gambling problems, there's a huge history of Philip's gambling problems. This ain't new. So playing on history there is very, very nice. Also her coming in just as Trip and Allie stuff is revving up is very, very good. She's, you know, yes, everybody comes back from the dead on Days of Our Lives, but she is, if we're going to do that, this is a good use of history. And it's a good time because Steve and Kayla are at odds, and it's just, strangely, she's needed on canvas, and I didn't know she was needed till she showed up. So
God, I hope she's not lusting after Steve still.
She already had flashbacks.
Oh, Lord, because she and Philip are so... Let me tell you something. I don't know whose idea was to bring her back on. GH sure as hell wasn't using her. But my God, they are so psyched. They ain't even did nothing. And I'm just like, ooh, you two, ooh, sex appeal. Oh my God. They did not, like, they act as though they've been acting together for years. And I just hope, ooh, I hope they have Philip messing with her. I do. I think that would be so, ooh, raunchy.
I have to believe that Charlie is her kid.
Oh, absolutely.
Because the intern suddenly shows up when all this is happening, and it would be kind of cool if he was.
Well, and it's also a multi-level plot if you look at it from if she's getting into Kyriakos from one direction with Philip, she's also potentially, even though her child may not know it, have a foot in the door at another level. Mike, Abby blew up the party. What'd you think?
I think that any time that you get an invitation to go somewhere in Salem that's a public affair, you got to go because something's going to happen. I thought it was fun. But what was more fun was afterwards. And it's funny, Luke, I was thinking about you because last week you were talking about how the story happened and then we got it. We get the flashback of how everything happened. And I felt like it was it's that one of those things that, and I said this to Josh, was that if this was a different show, a different soap, I would have an issue with the recapping of a story that didn't happen on screen in front of me. But I'm just going along with the ride on this one.
Other shows don't have time jumps.
I get it.
Well, they don't know what we argued about. That's why I'm saying it on the podcast.
You put your foot down, Bud. You don't let Miguel talk to you that way. You put your foot down. You talk to him that way. What's wrong with you?
But it was fun. But it was more fun watching Jack and Jennifer after. And it was more fun watching Jack rip into Abigail after.
My favorite moment of the week on Days was Kate putting Steve in his place. That was the best moment.
And
of
that's
days
how
for
JJ
me.
Finds out about the rape. That was also good. It's just so much stuff.
Listen, Days was up again. I'm like, God, oh, what's wrong with you CBS shows? Because Days, you know, they shit on Days because Days will go out of the box and do some wacky tobacco shit. But ooh, when Jack tore into Abigail's ass, I was like, go ahead, go ahead. Even though Jack was wrong, I'm like, go ahead, Jack. I'm like, everybody treats her with kid gloves when it was her own kin being like, you little. I was like, woo, Jack, that was a long time coming. I loved it. And Kate telling Steve about his one-eyed ass. I was like, go ahead. Because I'm like, Kate is just warming up for when the one and only Samantha Jean comes. And it's like, uncle or not, screw you and your damn kid. Like, oh my God.
What did you
think
of Kate and Jake?
Hot.
Jillian.
Okay, so I see a lot of people online complaining about it because, look, you know I am a Gabby and Jake stan. Jake and Gabby stan. Gabby ain't back yet, so Jake gotta do something and do someone. Hello. I see a lot of people online kvetching about it, and my Tony, you know, our little encyclopedia, online encyclopedia, soap encyclopedia there. Oh, you know, I love me some Tony, but Tony was just like going in. And I was like, no, wait a minute. Why is it that Kate is not married? Why can't Kate do a little bump and grind? Like, everybody was complaining about Kate and Jack and then Kate and Jake. Kate and Jake are single, so she can screw who she wants and vice versa. Now, that's, you know, Kate, and I'm like, and this is in Kate's backstory. Kate screwed Jennifer's mother's husband. So this
and produced
is in,
Lucas.
This is in that wheelhouse for Kate to be like, yeah, I ain't married, so yeah. So I don't mind it because it has so much ramifications and repercussions with the aftermath. I do not mind it at all. Thank God Ron did not do something where Kate is pregnant, because I would have been like, now look at him,
Lord,
Mr. Cobblebody.
No.
You need to put your
this
pencils down.
This is not down. The guideline.
Your pencils down. Pencils down. I would have told him, what you doing? But I don't mind it at all. I like it because...
Ooh, and I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jillian. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'll wrap it up and you can go ahead, baby. But, you know, I don't mind it at all. And I'm just like, Kate has always been, you know... I'm like, Kate has always been like, I've always felt like Kate is just a man trapped in a woman's body. She's very cutthroat like a man. She doesn't care, man, woman, child, baby. She will come after you guns blazing if you mess with her family. And she also kind of like acts like a man, like she'll sleep with you and then be like, you know, some dude will be like, so when can I call you again? Kate always gives me that vibe like, I'll call you. You know, don't call me, I'll call you. And she moves on to the next. So I'm just like, why can't women do that? Like, I have no problem with this. Like, everybody's just like, oh my God, Kate slept with everybody. So what?
So
who
what?
Cares?
That's right.
Yeah.
Nobody says that. Healthy libido. Yeah. There's nothing
yes.
wrong with that.
Not at all.
Now, what were you going to say, Josh?
Really fast. Yeah. First, just a quick thing here. I loved Katie McClain done put her foot in this role. Her slapping Jennifer slapping Jack was great, and that confrontation was great. And spoiler alert, if you haven't watched the promo, next week Kate and Jennifer go at it, and I hope before all that's holy that one of the breakdown writers got in there. I want Jennifer Rose to look at Kate and say, close your legs to married men.
I want her
to say that.
If they did that, oh my God, I would so high five Days. Oh.
That would be so good.
But this is you guys
such a conflict.
What did you guys think of, sort of circling back to the beginning, but what did you guys think of Xander's hunt to figure out what Philip is doing? And what do you think of how Sarah is factoring into it? Because ironically, I'm sort of liking Sarah as this unintentional eavesdropper, which I didn't think I would enjoy. Now, granted, she's not doing anything at the hospital at the moment, but like, it's sort of fun. I would rather have her be Gladys Kravitz than Nicole. What did you guys think of Xander versus Philip? Going around the circle real quick, Mike.
Xander versus Philip doesn't really thrill me, but I do like the cloak and dagger Sarah trying to be supportive of her man and his mission to take over Kyriakis. So I'm hoping for better stuff with the Philip versus Xander, but right now it's just kind of like meh.
Jillian?
I like it. I just wish they had a little bit more stakes in it. Like, I wish it would roll over to a little personal. I know some people will be like, no, another man for Sarah. You know, you got to go there. Like, I want them to have a little bit more stakes. I like it, but it would be kind of cool if Philip went after Sarah to stick it to Xander. No pun intended. you know, that would be spicy. And this isn't Sarah's wheelhouse. Sarah likes to hop on people. Now, why y'all ain't complaining about Sarah? I'm like, I see y'all. Y'all don't complain when Sarah hopped to man, but y'all complaining about Kate. Get out of here. I would like that. It would give their feud a little bit more juice.
Josh, what I love about Xander and Sarah when they're being written right is it gives me the vibe of what I would imagine a young Victor and Maggie would be like, because I didn't watch back in the day when they're with their earlier history. But like, if I was imagining Victor and Maggie as young adults, Victor being the Xander-esque bad boy, and Maggie and Sarah sort of being the principled but eavesdropping meddlesome character, it sort of works for me. I can sort of, if they were ever, let me put it this way, if they were ever to do like futuristic things of like, or young adult things of Victor and Maggie as like super young as fake flashbacks, I could totally see them putting Xander and Sarah in that flashback. But what did you think of these Philip versus Xander?
Well, first of all, you're not off. I mean, we didn't really have that, but if you flashed it back like that, Maggie was messy. Maggie was a mess when she was early on. She was a messy mess.
So
Sarah, yeah, she was a hoe too.
She get it from her mama. Yes.
Old school Days fans will remember that Maggie was catting around with Neil Curtis. There's a whole lot of mess there. But,
oh my God, I just have to say, you're so old school, catting around. Oh my God, you're so old school, Southern. I die. Love it.
you know, and the stakes thing I agree with, but I think the insertion of Ava ups the stakes in this. I do agree that I wish there was more Kyriakis stakes, but I think that Ava is going to up the game here. I like Sarah and Xander are a refreshing couple in all of daytime to me. Michael heard me rant this week about the lack of couples on every show except Days. Mm-hmm. Days is filled with couples, but the other shows it's difficult because there's just not a lot of long-term couples. And Sarah and Xander are fun. I like when they're working together. They're goofy. They're silly. She still puts him in his place, but it's kind of in a giggly, silly way. I find them refreshing and I find them fun. It's a little bit of laughter and silliness in the midst of a lot of drama. So
I was going to say, I also like that Days has a tendency to not forget certain things. So when Sarah went to go see Brady, I didn't think about Mickey and the baby. And then when Sarah was done and walked away, the baby cried, and that brought a whole other dimension to Sarah and Brady. It was like, oh, I almost forgot about the baby. So that was kind of cool too. I like that they had that discussion.
Mike, what did you think of the fact that Laura's back in Port Charles?
Laura's been up to a lot, apparently not doing mayor's work. She's doing own her investigation.
She on the taxpayer's dime trying to be fucking Miss Marple. She need to go. I'd kiss. Woo, she'd make me.
And then she goes after Jordan for all of her things about being, she was being very administrative with Jordan and her, all her faults whilst she was on the taxpayer's dime. Miss Marple. Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Oh my God.
Well, and the thing is like, isn't Sam supposed to be Port Charles resident detective?
Yeah, right. No, it's funny because I always think of Jamie whenever something happens with Laura. Jamie goes, go home, Laura, go home. And I just like, that just always comes to mind.
Listen, because here's my thing with Laura. And I'm just like, I don't know if this is a writing thing or if Jeannie is pushed for this or whatever. Laura needs to find a lane, sis. You either the mayor where you dedicate in streets, you talking about the trash, being picked up, schools closing and shit, or you gonna be crime solving. You can't have it both, honey child. You know, no, no. If I was a constituent of poor Charles, I would demand that her ass get fired, because you ain't about to bust no crime up on my dime, ho. That's what the police department's for. I would be so mad at Laura. You supposed to be getting the funding for us for supplies and shit, and you going around running around looking after looking for dirt on Cyrus.
Right, and when you're taking weeks at a time off, it's hard to write around you being mayor and saying you're at another conference, because that's they got to come up with a better angle for that. But that's
defund
neither here
Laura
nor there.
Spencer. That's what they need to do. Cyrus needs to come up with a campaign to defund her ass. Because I'm like, what the hell you doing out here? I'm like, get your ass back to Port Charles and go balance a budget, girl. I was not here for that a little bit. I was like, girl, what the hell you doing? I don't like it. I'm like, get your ass back to
like
Port Charles.
I love Jeannie Francis, and I'm glad she's back. But yeah.
Yeah. Get your ass
Josh,
back to Port Charles.
What did you think of the Julian, Ava, Sonny standoff?
I think a lot, actually. If we're going to talk about that, I have to also talk about Sonny's talk with Taggart, which just continues to annoy me that Sonny and Taggart are acting like all friendly and happy with each other. And then Taggart says something about, well, if Ava had done such and such, I don't think I'd be able to forgive that. You know, that's just horrible that she killed Connie. And then we shoot to Sonny, who's being written as a hero for some reason, pulls Julian.
That's
and
a surprise for
no, no,
some
no, 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 no.
Reason?
I know that. I know that.
Don't y'all come for my Sonny. I'll take on all three of you bitches. No. Don't do it.
I don't have a problem with any of it, but my problem is that then Sonny pulls Julian in and says, I'm going to, basically, I'll kill you if you don't tell me, which is a very Sonny thing to do. But Ava, it's a long-standing thing of, it's hard for me to see as Julian as a bad guy when the everyone is bad in Port Charles, and then some of them are written as heroes and some of them are written as villains. It's very strange. But I feel very off about Julian exiting the show soon, because
it sounds like they're about to, the way out it's laid out, it sounds like Julian, I don't know nothing, it sounds like Julian may get his ass popped. So
I think so too. And I know each soap tends to have a character with no connection. So like Nicole has stayed on Days with literally one or two and sometimes zero connections on Canvas. And Ava can do that too. But Ava and Julian's relationship, man, yes, that's one of the best parts of General Hospital.
Yeah, it is. I did like, I loved that episode because I love that Ava's trying to defend her brother, but you can see Ava like, wait a minute now. When
she was squirming.
Like, she's trying to defend her brother and save him, but you could see when he mentions Trina.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she goes to him privately. She's like, wait, wait, wait. And she goes to him privately and said, look, I didn't undercut you with Sonny because it's Sonny and you're my brother. But make no mistake, you're not going to mess with Ava on, not Ava. You're not going to mess with Trina on my watch, brother or no brother. She's been through enough. You got it? And he's all, no, 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 no. You got it? Yeah, yeah. Like, I like that part. Like,
I did too.
And I like, see, this is, I love that Ava has such an, you know, affection for Trina because, mm-hmm, you know, the way LGH had it written before, they had Ava pretty much written into a corner and she didn't care about anybody. She even went after Kiki. It's almost as if, like, I don't think they're trying to do a do-over, but, you know, you don't get to see Ava's soft spot. So I like that part. I like it. I wish we could see more. I want to see more of it. I love when she, like, is like mama bear when it comes to Trina.
Yeah, and I like she hugged her. She gave her a really genuine.
Yes, yes. Hug. But Portia should be side-eyed at her, being like, why this white woman around my child? Trying to do?
I have a question for you all. Have you all noticed slowly but surely they've had Sonny start to soften towards Ava a little bit?
Yes. Yes.
It's been, it's needed and I've liked it, but it's subtle and I like that.
That's why I feel as though Julian's stupid shit gonna ruin that. He gonna upchuck whatever. What's the saying? Something apple cart.
Upset the apple cart.
Upset the apple cart, because I'm like, Julian, like, I don't know what's happening, but Julian threw in with Cyrus in that damn ponytail. Plus, he's also got Sonny against the ropes. So it's like, which one of these mobsters will kill him? Will it be the dimple dapper Don, or will it be this one, this drug pusher? Who knows?
You know what I thought was sort of interesting about it, and maybe this is, maybe the observation is off, but I feel like Sonny is better with Ava when Carly isn't around.
Sonny is better when Carly's not around, period. And Carly is better when Sonny's not around.
Yep.
Well, it's true.
I mean, see, Ava has been a part of that world. She's grown up in that world. So she understands Sonny a little bit more, and she's more cutthroat. I wish they would let Ava go there. Like, I just want them to bust Sonny and Carly up, and somehow he and Ava are together. And can you imagine those two running? See, that should have happened.
You want Sonny and Ava?
Yes, I actually do.
I'd be okay with Sonny and Ava.
I actually do. I've said this before on this podcast, so you can clutch your pearls in your pocketbook.
It's not that I'm clutching my pearls. I just... I feel like there's so much water under that bridge that it would be very difficult.
Okay.
And the other...
Fine line between love and hate.
Right. And then, that's very true. But the other thing about it is for me, like... Ava has had a very weird arc in that she came on this as this kick-ass character, and then she ended up being a wet sop for so long, and I finally feel like she's actually returning back into her own, though there's a little bit more desperation at being with the whole being framed type thing. But
ladies and gentlemen, this is proof that
I just feel like if she would end up dating or being in a relationship with Sonny, it would all become about Sonny, and what the gains that we've made with Ava would be erased.
Okay. Yeah, and I like her with right now. I like her with Nick, and I want to see where that's going.
All right, you okay? So, this is what I was trying to say. This is what happens when Luke Kerr interrupts and does not let you finish your point. I did not say how I wanted Ava and Sonny together. I said I wanted them together. I didn't say how. That's the key thing. I did not say how. I was going to say I wanted Sonny and Ava together in a business aspect. Remember when it was Ava, Lord the Blondes. Remember when it was Sonny and Faith in a platonic thing, like they were on paper? I wanted to be like that for Ava and Sonny. And while I don't want any feelings with them, because I love her and Nick together, because Nick is like, you're a mobster, I'm a Cassanine, enough said. You know, Nicholas is like, who am I to judge? You know, my big mama was Helena Cassanine, and Stavros is my pappy, so who am I to judge? So I actually want Sonny and Ava in that capacity, like on paper, maybe they're married and they still can't stand each other. But business wise, when it comes to mob stuff, Sonny is like, oh, shit, like I underestimated this chick. You know what I'm saying? Like those two, if they had gotten together under that pretense to take down and they took on Cyrus, I think that would be they would be formidable doing that. Because I'm just like, how are y'all not able to take his ass down? How? I'm like, Jason, you suck as a mobster. Because I'm like, Jason is always two in the head. You know he dead. Jason just pop up. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Why is he still walking around in poor Charles with that ponytail? Why?
What did you guys think of Sasha and Cyrus this last week?
Oh, my God. I said it on Twitter. I was like, if you climb on him, girl, no. But because I'm like, what is going on here with this? I'm like, why are you using her? Do you know something? Do you know that she broke up with Michael to get custody and you're using, like, I'm like, I don't think Cyrus is that intuitive, because I'm like, maybe he knows the real reason why she broke up with Michael, and he's saying, I could use this girl as an advantage. And I'm just like, are you using, and then I said, are you going to be using her to make Laura jealous? Because you know he has a thing for Laura. I'm like, what's going on here? I was so glad that she, this sounds so bad, but I'm like, I'm so glad she started to OD, because I'm like, God, I did not want to see you two with nothing. Oh, Lord. Sorry, Nancy Reagan, but crack is drugs. Say no to drugs. I'm like, not in this instance, because I'm like, ugh, I did not want to see that.
The thing that crossed my mind, and it's partly because of the fact that I really don't understand why we're wasting all this time on Nina's storyline with searching for the baby when what is perceived to be her daughter is dead. But I had a moment that crossed. Is it possible that Cyrus is doing this because Sasha is actually Nina's daughter and they're going to
find out
if it's true? Like, well, no, but like when you were asking,
found out
like,
that Nell is her daughter.
I know that. That's what has been told to us on screen. But I was trying to formulate in my mind what could be the reason why Cyrus is taking interest in Sasha of all people. And I was like, maybe if I stretch, it could be she still has a connection to Nina.
No, don't stretch. You do yoga to stretch. Don't do that. The only thing I could see why he's taken a shine to her is because he knows that she's somehow linked to Sonny because of Michael, and he's doing that to screw with them or something. Because I'm like, that's it. But Nina, it's Nell. Nell is her daughter. Child, Nell is her daughter. Stop it.
I will say that Nina and Cyrus, and I don't like Cyrus. I don't really. I'll be happy when this is over.
You want Nina and Cyrus?
Nina, wait. I'm just gonna say this. No, I don't want them together. But
if they would end up together and go off screen together, then that would be wonderful.
Yeah, that's true. But Jeff Kober and Cynthia Watrous had chemistry during their scene together. It was the first time I thought Nina had some chemistry down. With Cyrus.
Put your pencil down.
I don't want
it. It's the Magic TV.
Mike,
the Boston Magic TV.
Mike, get him. Do you think they have chemistry? Let's hear
no,
what the
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't think
Mike, you go get him.
Cyrus gives off a vibe, but it's definitely not sexual.
Oh, bud. Like,
I don't want them together. It's just Nina has no chemistry with anybody. And I just thought I saw something there.
No, I will defend
I'm
Cynthia.
I'm not really sure.
She has chemistry with Curtis.
I just feel like
they don't play that.
I just feel like with Sasha, sometimes I don't think they know what to do with her, but they won't get rid of her. So
die, bitch, die. That OG.
Yeah.
Okay, so to wrap this up, fist bump or dump, Michael, Willow, Chase.
Ugh.
Poor Chase. Oh, poor Chase. He has
to
get his eyes.
Well, just say rest in peace to Willow because she done touched the dick of death, so it's done now.
I don't understand why they wait. Like, GH is pulling a... I'm like, Chris and Dan and Chris. See, I got one in for y'all. That's copyrighted by moi. Some. I see what y'all are doing, but I'm like, don't be bold in the beautiful, because I felt like that was some B&B shit where Chase is like, I'm going to tell Willow, but I'm going to go get a glass of water. And when he does that, they're upstairs screwing. I'm like, why don't you just bust upstairs and say, hey, girl. Oh, I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. And now
the best part about that was the fact that Brooklyn went and had the conversation with Ned.
Oh, yes. I love that Monica told him, grow up.
Ooh,
like, yes. When Monica said that, I'm like, I miss Jane Elliott on there. I'm like, Jane, bitch, you know you want to come back. It's hard times out there for a pimp. Come on, girl.
Yeah,
I'm like, yes, they need her back so bad. I'm like, I miss you. But Monica told him what the audience was trying to say to Ned. Ned, you need to grow up. Your daughter grown. Her riding Valentine's baloney pony. She grown. She an adult. She wanted to do it. Just like how you mess with Valentine's, I thought, but she ain't sister. Like, grow up. Grow up.
On that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/DCConfidential. You can find me on Twitter at Luke_Kerr. Jillian is at Jillian Bow. Mike is at MPJ24. And Josh is at Dr. Joshua 09. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
We don't want Cyrus and Nina. Don't listen to Josh. What the hell is wrong with you? I'm like, what chemistry there?
I don't want them together. I just
listen,
want some chemistry.
You know you have to be specific. God said you gotta be specific when you ask for things.